And welcome to a very special edition of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. I am coming at you live from MB System Studios here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where we are getting ready for Hurricane Dorian. And just thought I would do something that I did a couple of years ago when I believe it was Hurricane Irma was coming through, and I did a little pre-hurricane show, let everybody know how I prepared and what we were going to be doing. And at that particular time, we talked mainly about backups and what we did for my customers to get them all backed up. But this time around, I really don't know what I'm going to talk about, but I had thought about doing this a little bit earlier. And then I got a couple of messages, a couple of emails, and thought, well, I might as well go ahead and do it. And hey, what else am I going to be doing tonight except sitting around watching the Weather Channel? So that is where we are. But before we get started with that, let me first do a little bit of housekeeping. First thing I want to do is give a nice little shout out to my good friend Sherry, because more than a week ago, we were chatting on the phone and she made a comment about, yeah, we haven't had to talk about the H word this year. And this was obviously, Dorian was a tropical storm and it was projected to stay a tropical storm and be over and done with pretty quickly. And of course, literally the next day after, the forecast started changing and she apologized to me, but I'm still going to call her out because she has now ruined this for all of us. So thank you, Sherry. And I do want to say that second, for those of you listening to the audio podcast, there are going to be some references to something new that this will be the first time we've done a live podcast. I am streaming this live on the Facebook, and I've got my monitors all jacked up, so I can't tell how many people are watching, but I do see a couple of people that have messaged me and are saying hello. And I'm saying hello back, but I won't be able to type. So sorry, folks, you'll just have to watch. And until I can get a producer and co-contributor and all that stuff, I'll do what I can. But if you have questions, I will answer them during the show and see how good this is. I had mentioned last podcast that I was going to be going to Atlanta to the Empower MSP conference that SolarWinds is hosting there. And I actually had a couple of people reach out and said that they were going to be there, including Jason Miller, our good friend. Because of Hurricane Dorian, I will now not be going to Atlanta. I will be here suffering whatever consequences comes our way with Hurricane Dorian. I've got a lot of customers that we're probably going to be having to deal with lost power, getting them back up and running, and all of that stuff. So I just can't leave them in the middle of all this. It would be nice to get away to Atlanta, but I need to be here for them. So, won't be going to Atlanta. And I also mentioned that I was going to be moving a customer this past weekend. And we actually did get them moved, but we moved everything up and started moving them on Friday. So, that was kind of a big deal to get them moved on Friday instead of Saturday and to make sure that they were up and running. And part of the email that I'm going to address a little bit later, actually, we'll talk about that move and what we did for them. And this is not going to be a regular show. I don't have any guests, don't have any sponsors, but I do obviously want to reach out and give some promotional consideration. Shout outs to Freedom Voice, to Malwarebytes, and to Fabs Auto Backup. Those will have links in the show notes, so be sure to go there and support the people that are supporting our community. Also, I want to say thank you. I just got another deposit from Amazon, and I want to say thank you for people that are using the link If you're going to Amazon and you click on the link first and purchase whatever you're going to purchase, doesn't have to be computer. Anything that you purchase, same price to you, but a little bit of commission, 1% or something comes back to the show. Any little bit helps to purchase equipment, do gift cards, whatever. So I want to say thank you for the people that are using the Amazon link. And I hope that you continue to do so. And well, of course, if you're liking the show and you want to keep it going, you'll do that for me. So that is it. And trying to watch two screens at once. So for those of you that are watching, have fun. And for those of you that are listening, I don't know how well I'll be able to clean this up in editing since I don't really edit, but we'll make it work. So I'm going to use this one email as the platform for everything that I talk about tonight. And it is actually a pretty decent sized email, but I'm going to take two questions out of it. This is from a gentleman who I actually had been corresponding with about the Link Runner AT and talking about the network show that I'm going to be doing. But he asked two questions in here that are really pertinent. I wanted to get to them because if I wait, I probably won't. And this is probably as good as time as there is to talk about it. But in his email, and folks, it's here. So if you're watching live, you'll see that this is a real email printed out. And in his email, David writes, "I know you're well into hurricane season, but can you recap what you're doing for your client and what conversations you're having?" So, just so happens that email actually did come in today, Sunday, September 1st. So, a lot of the stuff I've already done, obviously, but I will describe the process I have. And I know that when I talked about this last time, we talked about the fact that a lot of these things are just like any other disaster recovery. Things need to be done ahead of time. These are discussions you need to have weeks, months ahead of time. I'm a little bit lucky in the sense that most of my customers have been with me for years, and most of them already know what they need to do. In fact, there were two that actually called me ahead of time before I started making the calls saying, "We know it's coming. Have you already mapped out what we're supposed to do and everything?" So that's how well a couple of my customers are trained. Not every customer's like that. I have a couple of stories to prove it, but that works out well for me. For other situations, obviously you have to plan accordingly. But I do want to say that I think one of the considerations is you have to figure out what your customers need in terms of, is it something where they just are going to shut down, they want to protect their equipment, and then they want to come back to work, and whatever happens, happens? Or is this a customer who wants to try to work as soon as possible, especially if the hurricane comes on a weekday and people are not going to be able to work? And I have customers, a lot of law firms that work remotely. So they have come up with their own ideas on how they're going to work remotely if people cannot get into the office. So I'll talk a little bit about that. But that was one of the things, the first answer is, these are conversations that you have to have well ahead of time. I actually did have a customer who I considered not under management. And what I mean by not under management is I have 19 clients, 31 servers, and then however many other endpoints that I consider under management, meaning they are paying me a monthly service fee for monthly service. So management, whether it's just simple RMM stuff, whether it's their backups, whether it's full help desk, whether it's whatever it is, I have 19 clients that are paying me monthly. And those are the ones that I consider under management. Those are the ones that I work with to get a plan together, and we'll take care of them during something like this. Anybody else, they are on a first come, first serve basis after everybody else is taken care of. So I did have one customer who called up Friday morning and asked, what can we do to help them? And I had to explain to them, they have to think of our services the same way they have to think of insurance. There's a certain period of time where you cannot get insurance ahead of a catastrophe. The insurance companies just won't let you do it because they can't obviously get any money out of you to cover the loss. It's just not happening. It's just like getting life insurance on your spouse and your spouse dies the week after you get the insurance. They're going to consider you for insurance fraud. Now, obviously, that's a little different. I'm not going to consider them for tech fraud, but I can't expel resources in that short of time, especially if the customer is a decent size. So that was one thing that did happen. This particular storm, even though we knew about it more than a week ago, because it wasn't considered to be a danger and it wasn't going to be considered coming close, you know, to at least my area. When I say my area, Fort Lauderdale is in South Florida. So for those of you that have been paying attention and watching the map and trying to figure out where things are, even though they've talked about Dorian hitting the entire east coast of Florida, we are still far enough down that we are only under a tropical storm warning, hurricane watch, meaning we are, at this point, we're south of the storm. The storm, if you're looking at the map, currently it's just after 9 p.m., the storm is literally parallel with West Palm Beach. And West Palm Beach is about 30 miles north of us. So we are on the weaker side of the storm. And even if it does continue on a westerly path, which they don't think it will, we are not going to be hit as severely as others. And I lost my train of thought of where I was going with that. So I'm going to kind of move on. This is what happens when you're live and don't have notes. So I guess I was talking about the impact and where it might be going and who would be affected. So anyway, I'll move on to this point. Anybody watching know where I was? Oh, I forget there's a delay. So I guess I may have to wait a minute for somebody to acknowledge and say, you're on, you're lost. Anybody? Bueller? I may not have people watching. I don't know how to tell. I don't have the right screen. Oh, there we go. Okay. Well, so I did talk about, not calling right ahead of the storm and expecting us to help. I talked about the fact that I have 19 offices, 31 servers. Don't know where I was going with that, so I will move on to my next point. Somebody was typing. That's what I'm waiting for. Man, this live stuff is pretty interesting, isn't it? So I don't know if they've stopped typing or if it's just going to take a little bit of time to come up. But anyway, so let's just move on. So anyway, so when I get my clients ready, and we talked about having the plans ahead of time, one of the things that I have taken on myself is basically being a project manager for their hurricane plans, just as if I'm a project manager for the move or anything else, in the sense that I, you know, not only have to talk with them about how they're going to, you know, take down their computers if they're in a window with an office and they don't have impact glass, when are we going to shut down their servers? We have a whole hurricane preparedness checklist for each client. They each have to have their own. And it basically, you know, talks about all the things that is our responsibility and their responsibility. And we have to put that in writing because some people just assume we're going to take care of everything and we will not. We tell them, you know, what a hurricane watch is, what a hurricane warning is, and what that means to us. Because for the most part, as soon as we get into tropical storm watches and warnings, we are in prep mode, meaning we don't do any new appointments. We will work only with existing customers that are under management, get them ready and get them prepared for the storm. As soon as we are into a hurricane watch, no appointments, no calls, no nothing. You need to be ready and you need to be prepared and on your own. Now, one of the things that I do take care of is for customers that have remote offices or they want people to work remotely and we've got their server in a secure closet that is away from Windows that is able to keep running. we will have a server shutdown schedule so that at some point before the storm comes, and we don't want to wait for the building to lose power for the service to go off, we'll do a controlled shutdown. And we actually have a scheduled time for those servers. And some of those servers were actually shutting down tonight. Some of them were not shutting down until tomorrow morning. There are actually two servers that are already down that the customer basically said, we are not going to be working until after the storm. Go ahead and shut us down. So we have two servers that have already been shut down for 1 day and 15 hours. So that has already been done. The other things that we kind of do is we talk to them about how to unplug all their stuff. Obviously, we actually don't have them take apart their computers and move them into an interior room unless it is a really, really bad building. And most of our buildings can withstand most storms. Most of our buildings this storm around are, like I said, they're south of the storm, so they're not going to get those heavy hurricane force winds. We do have some offices. We've got an office in Vero. We've got an office in Fort Pierce. See, we used to have an office in Jacksonville. We don't have them anymore. So those offices we do have to worry about if the storm keeps moving west and they end up having some sort of impact there. Most offices will leave them plugged into the battery backups, but unplug the battery backup from the wall just to prevent any power surge when the power comes back on. But most of them, we just leave the computers as is. In those offices, so Vero, Fort Pierce, and I think we're even doing Maitland, because if it goes in far enough into the coast, those offices, if they have a outer office with a window that does not have impact glass, those computers are actually being taken down and moved to an interior office. The servers in all of those places are either in a closet or a room, so I don't have to worry about that. And one of those offices is one that is actually completely shut down. It actually does not have a server in it, so they just shut all their workstations down on Friday when they left, and they'll plug them back in when they go back up. So we talk to them all about that. And for the most part, that's it. Now, I do have a story to tell, because I have one customer that took it upon themselves this year to get a generator, one of those big Generac generators, one that I was going to get for the house, but we didn't get it. So if I lose power, I have that loud, clanky, I forget even the name of it, but it's a 5,000 watt generator that's, as soon as we turn it on, the neighbors will be coming over looking for stuff. But this customer got a Generac generator that they hooked up to run their server room and some other stuff. They did this maybe 2-3 months ago, did not call me, did not tell me. And the day that they're doing installation, it was a Friday afternoon and servers started going off. And so I called them to say, anything I need to know about? And they said, yeah, we're installing a generator. I said, oh, thank you for letting me know. And do you need me to do anything? No, we got it. We're good. So that was Friday. Well, later that night, once they finished everything and they started bringing stuff back up, they lost connection. They didn't have phones. They didn't have internet, because the person that did this didn't actually know how to turn everything back on and couldn't. It was a mess. So I ended up having to go there Friday night, get them back up. And that's a whole nother story. But the story you want to hear now is this Friday. They thought that it would be a good idea to have somebody come in and test the generator. Again, didn't tell me, didn't talk to me. They can handle stuff on their own. So Friday afternoon, and I'm going to look up the time here in my dashboard, because I thought it was absolutely, well, it wasn't funny, but it was funny, because Friday at, yes, 5:15, I start getting device down alerts, and I get a phone call from this client, and his message to me was, there's something going on with the servers. And I said, well, yeah, I can tell something's going on with the servers. What's going on at your office? And he goes, well, we had the electrician come out to test the generator, so we turned it on, and now all the servers are going down. And I asked him, okay, so did you guys figure out which circuit that the generator is connected to? And he goes, well, it's to the servers. I said, obviously it's not working. And so then his question to me was, well, should I turn the generator back on? And I said, yeah, that'd be a, or no, should I turn the generator off? Because the generator was still running. I said, so yeah, turn it off and let's see what happens. So he turns it off and sure enough, 5 to 10 minutes, I'm starting getting to alerts that servers are back up and all of this stuff. And he said, well, why do you think that's a problem? And I said, I don't know. You didn't involve me in the installation. I should have been there and we could have tested everything. So he goes, well, I guess I got to call the guy back out. And I said, okay, do you think you'll be able to get him back out? It's after 5 o'clock on a Friday before a long weekend with a hurricane coming, and he wasn't sure. So I'm interested to see what happens because I did not get any alerts that anything had gone down again. So I don't know if they got the correct circuit. So there's a situation where they tried to do something and it, I think it backfired because now apparently when they switch on the generator, it must cut off power to the circuit in the server room. And I don't know how much it costs for them to put that in, but if they lose power and they are far enough north in Palm Beach that they should lose power. And it'll be interesting to see if they work. And to be honest, this is a situation where can't call me. I can't help them. So just thought that would be a fun story to share. All right. And let's see here. I think that's enough hurricane stuff. Many of you have probably been watching the Weather Channel nonstop, like me, because I basically have to be Brian Norcross for my clients. So I've been watching it for almost a week now, and basically nonstop for the last 48 hours. So I, of course, I'm trying to see if it's going to keep going west, either above the Bahamas or below the Bahamas, because that little deviation makes a big deal, because if it stays below and keeps going west, my customers in Palm Beach are going to get hit with something. So I'm watching that. I also have family that are north in Melbourne area and Daytona Beach. So I'm having to advise them what they need to do. My mom is one of the people in Melbourne. She's got her shutters up. She's ready to go. But my sister is in Daytona. And hopefully she is on her way to Melbourne now because she does not have shutters or anything at the house that she is at. So maybe I'll have a story to tell you about that later. All right. Question number two from David that I wanted to address. He said, I would also like a show on how to do a proper office move. Do you box computers, place them on a pallet? Do you use your own vehicle or rent a U-Haul? And I figured this is as good a time to answer that one as well, because I just did a major move for the one client. And it was, let's see, this was a client that moved out west and they have one server and they have 25 workstations. And this was the first time that we actually have moved that many computers where it was our responsibility. Most of the time, I will move the server and the network equipment, but we will have the movers move the computers. Now, we'll go ahead before the movers get there, and I will have myself and techs. We will actually, you know, disassemble the computers. We've got bags where we put the keyboards and cables in. We disassemble the monitors and wrap them nicely. And then we put them in the movers boxes. Most of the movers down here in Florida will have these big crates that they put everything in. So we will take apart the computers, monitors, and stuff like that and put them in the crates. And then when they get to the space and all the furniture is assembled, then we come in after the fact, we'll unassemble, well, we'll take them out of the crates, reassemble the computers and monitors, and then make sure everything is working. But I will always take the server. The server's usually the last thing to go down. And then the first thing to go up at the new office, I made sure that the server room networking and everything is working ahead of the move. But this time we actually did the moves ourselves. And one of the things I want to say that if you're doing a move, you need to decide if you are going to utilize servers or services of somebody moving. Like if you're going to hire, you know, I don't know, 2 men in a truck or whatever. However, we get a U-Haul and we actually have purchased and we have in our inventory these big freaking totes. And they're totes. I'll put the link in the show note because I can't turn the camera around to show the live people. But they're the totes that you can get from Office Depot or even Home Depot. They're like 27, 30 gallon tubs that in most cases, we can put the computer monitor cables in one tote. And the reason I only have 20 is because I normally only use them for customers where we're moving, you know, five, I think 10 computers is the most we'd ever done. Any office bigger than that, and we've had offices with 40, 50 computers, that's where we tell them, no, we'll disassemble them. We'll put them in the totes for the movers. The movers move them, we'll take care of them. But in this case, we actually moved everything. And the first thing we wanted to let the customer know is we have automobile liability as part of the insurance. And I did that a long time ago so that if I was ever transporting any equipment that was customer owned and something happened, whether it was a wreck, whether, you know, it got stolen out of the vehicle, whether, you know, I left the door unlocked and somebody stole it, anything that happened during the transport, any equipment in the automobile was covered, but it had to be an automobile that was covered under my business insurance. So whether it was a, what they call it a hired auto and a non-hired auto. And I'll be honest, I don't remember what the difference is, but I always make sure that it's either my vehicle or something that I've rented, like a U-Haul, cargo van or truck or whatever. So that's what we do. Basically, to answer your question more broadly, David, is I treat the move just like I treat disaster recovery. We treat it as a project management. And for that perspective, we basically, as soon as we find out that a customer is moving, we try to take over as much as we can, or I do. And that's not always possible, but I want to be involved in every aspect, for especially if it is a new office that is being built out. I want to have the layout of the offices. I want to know, you know, if I'm not providing the cable installer, I want to work with the people installing the cables. Like this past move that I did with this client, this was somebody we had never worked with before. They were installing the cables, and I actually had to deal with them a couple of times because they forgot to do things. You know, we had two access points that needed to be, you know, put in the ceiling. They did not run the cables to the locations for the access points. They messed up the cubicle installation. And I'll tell you this, one of the reasons that I get frustrated is a lot of these vendors don't work together. So you have the cubicle installer, you have the cable installers, and you have the electrician, because these cubicles need to have power and they need to have cables run to individual cubicles. Well, this particular cable guy, it's actually a company, but I just like to say cable guy, did all the cabling to wall jacks like they were just regular wall jacks, like you were going to put a desk up against the wall and plug into the wall. And then they weren't going to do cables to the cubicles. They were expecting us to run 15 and 20 foot cables underneath cubicles to phones and computers. And I had to go to them and say, no, this isn't right. The customer apparently had told them that, but they just decided not to on their own. So that was something where I had to jump in and follow up on that. So project management from the entire move. So everything from, you know, the build out, the cables, cubicles. I even provide them with the moving schedule. So we talk about when people need to be packed, when we're coming in to, you know, disassemble the computers, when the servers are going to go down. Obviously, everybody knows about making sure that the internet service is running at the new offices. So all of that has to be tested. So there's an entire schedule that goes along with that process. And so this move, Now, this was one of those weird moves. This move was supposed to happen back in May. It didn't happen till now. And it was fun. But being involved in every aspect, when it actually came time for us to move, the move itself went smooth. We basically showed up at 12. We had everything packed, moved, and set up at the new office by 8:30 p.m. So literally 8.5 hours for 3 people to disassemble computers, servers, and stuff and move them over to the new space. Some things were done ahead of time. I had all the cabling done. I had switches already installed. I had the firewall already set up and running over there. So when I came in with the server, we just connected it, made sure it was running, did DHCP, DNS, redirected all that stuff. Then we set up the computers. And literally, if everything worked in terms of cabling, and in this case it did, computers came up, I could verify everything in my dashboard, good to go. So it was a pretty good move. So, David, I don't know if I probably didn't answer a lot of specific stuff to the move, but those were the key points, I think, in terms of keeping track of everything. Just treat it as a project and try to get involved with every aspect that you can for the customer. Oh, this was a customer that we actually switched out their phone service. They were using Comcast and we switched them over to Freedom Voice. So I had the phones already taken care of. They were activated and ready to go. And all we had to do was make sure that their auto attendant was up and running. So they were good. And I thought I had another note here, but of course I do not. And I do have another story here, but I see that I'm coming up on 30 minutes, actually over 30 minutes, and I did not plan on going this long, so I'm going to save this story for another time. I just wanted to get a quick show out here. I know that we had talked about not doing a show this Monday because it's Labor Day and then moving the shows to Wednesday. And I actually had planned, while I was at the SolarWinds conference, to do 3 or 4 interviews that were going to be played later this month. I'm not going to have those interviews, so we'll be doing our regular stuff. Got a show coming up with Matt Rainey, Jason Miller. We're going to have some TechCon Unplugged stuff, and that is it. So, folks, I hope that if you are one of the Florida folks, you know, Chris and some others here in Florida, I hope that you guys are prepared. I hope that you guys are ready, and hope that you guys make it to the other side. I really think that Florida is not going to be hit as bad as everybody. Well, let's just say this. That is a badass Category 5 storm out there, and hopefully it follows the path and skirts up the coast and doesn't hit us as bad. I hope it doesn't hit the Carolinas as bad. Good luck to us all. So, folks, that's going to do it. I don't know when I'll be back. If the storm keeps heading west, I do expect to lose power. I hope it's not as bad as it was last time. I lost power for 5 days with Irma. And but I did want to get a show out here and address the questions. I also wanted to address, like I said, I had some other technicians talking about, you know, why I do certain things and, you know, why do I spend so much time dealing with customers in a catastrophe like this? I had another tech who, you know, as soon as the storm got upgraded, I do weekly visits for this person and told them that I would not be able to make the visits for the next 2 weeks. And this is a person who doesn't live in the state of Florida, but his office, it's an extended office of his main customer. And his, you know, comment to me was, wow, 2 weeks without a visit, they're not going to be happy. And my thought was, well, 2 weeks without power and who's not going to be happy. So I've got to take care of my customers and we will figure that out. So just thought I'd get this out, address that. Thought I would test the live show, see how it worked. And I see that had several people watching. Thank you guys for watching. Looks like Adam, Mike, Chris. Let's see, there's a comment. Love clients that always think they can do things themselves without consulting. Yes, abso-freaking-lutely. Gotta love them. Gotta love them. So, all right, folks. So that is it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. If you have comments about this show or any show, have questions, show suggestions, anything that you want me to talk about, feel free to send me an email, Marvin@podnuts.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Podnuts Pro. And for those of you that are watching live, we are doing it live on the Facebook on the Podnuts Pro page. Obviously, I have to do more with that page. So if you go to Facebook and look up at Podnuts Pro, you'll find a page there where I've posted audio from the other shows. This live video will stay up there. I may have to edit it, but it'll be there. And that is it. So just remember, folks, we are here for your business IT support. And that doesn't mean that I am not here to do other support. I am also here for the one man, one woman shops. I am the man in the van. And holla.